SS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As Israel moves its forces into Rafah, forcing more than 300,000 Palestinian civilians to flee, President Biden pausing some weapons deliveries to Israel. Republican House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul saying that sends a poor message, telling ABC's Martha Raddatz on This Week.
You know where it matters, Martha, is a signal and the message we're sending the rest of the world that you can't count on the United States, can't trust the United States, that our allies, right, our allies and our enemies see this as well.
Three Atlanta police officers hospitalized with gunshot wounds following an encounter with an armed man that was killed. Two of the officers expected to undergo surgery. Former President Trump held a beach campaign rally in Wildwood along the Jersey Shore. He blamed President Biden for the criminal charges he's facing in New York. Set to take the stand this week, the man who once said he would take a bullet for Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, is prosecutor's biggest piece of legal ammunition in the former president's hush money trial. This is ABC News. A report suggests that former President Trump could be on the hook for a major IRS bill.
Donald Trump did not release his tax returns in his first two runs for the White House. There's no indication he will in his third. A new report from ProPublica and the New York Times examining limited tax records suggests that Trump may be facing an IRS bill of more than $100 million. It's centered on the finding that he twice deducted losses from the same Chicago skyscraper. His son Eric said in a statement the inquiry was settled years ago. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Paul Manafort, the longtime political power broker who served as the 2016 chairman for Donald Trump's presidential campaign, no longer planning to help manage this summer's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. That from a source, and it comes a day after the Washington Post reported that Manafort had reengaged in international consulting. Manafort was pardoned by Trump for crimes related to money laundering and obstruction of justice. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Birth doulas help new mothers with the stress and anxiety of childbirth. But there's another type of doula, people who support people who are dying. Terry D. has more.
Death doulas or end-of-life specialists give spiritual and emotional support to people nearing death in a non-medical setting. Kim Burgess is an end-of-life doula and certified adult geriatric nurse practitioner. She says fulfilling a dying person's wish to be in their desired setting is important.
People wanted to stay in their home, their comfort of their home, their own surrounding, their own food, their own loved ones. So I loved being able to support people in that role.
Training to become an end-of-life doula happens in workshops with required reading and work-study assignments. Since it is not a federally recognized field, insurance companies do not cover these services. Death, or what is sometimes called the other side, can produce feelings of fear or a sense of denial, especially if a terminal condition has been diagnosed. Burgess says it is a 24-hour job for loved ones helping someone in these final days or weeks. And she's encountered families who are unprepared for the caregiving needs.
And a lot of times their family is saying, we're just overwhelmed. And we have hospice involved, but we still feel like we need some more support. An end-of-life doula can be there given the family reassurance or making some slight suggestions.
Doulas can also help plan an advance directive, instructions a person can leave behind about their funeral service or cremation, what to do with a pet, or help writing a loving message to family and friends. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies for your Sunday. There will be a chance for some afternoon showers or storms. Highs will top out in the upper 70s, close to that 80-degree mark. South winds gusty. Shower and storm chances will end Sunday night. Lows in the lower 50s. Currently 71 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to a bunch of folks. There, some of them are from the Midwest. Others are for the Midwest. I hope they're all for the Midwest. Anyways, we are powered by Everlight Solar. And here is today's episode. Folks, we are back at it with the Cripescast. Kelly Maraca joins me today in this intro. She's the EP of the Cripescast. If you haven't listened to an episode, you wouldn't know that. So I'm letting you know. Today's episode, Christian Yelich. We need to invest in a sound machine, sound effects machine, I think, because we have some pretty limited sound effects abilities at our disposal. But anyway, Christian Yelich, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know Christian Yelich, Milwaukee Brewers outfielder, Golden Glover, Silver Slugger, the whole situation, 2018 MVP.
For the National League, yep.
For the NL MVP, ladies and gents. Milwaukee Brewers, been a staple of Milwaukee for quite a few years. Just super excited to have him on. We met doing a Liney's video.
Yeah.
Line and Kugel's, we did the Summer Shanty video where I was in the dugout and we met in the dugout. I was the beer guy and we were talking about, you know, athlete to athlete about our injuries. Mm-hmm. So that is where we met. Absolutely. But I think the first time we had a chance to chit chat and talk in
At
length was at his charity event. He's got a great charity event. We'll shout it out here. You can find it in the show notes. It's essentially helping kids all around Milwaukee have more access to baseball through building up their parks, their schools, and assisting with other nonprofits.
And there's another one happening this year, the Christian Yelich Home Plate Charity Concert. Tickets you can get at visitmilwaukee.org/Yelich. So yeah, check it out.
Thank you, Colleen.
And he was absolutely right in the podcast. As a Cubs fan, we do not like him. And I didn't mention that I was a Cubs fan when he was here because I didn't want to like...
Oh, you know what? I forget you're a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like I forget it often enough that it's not a huge part of your identity. And so perhaps you could just switch over to the Brewers.
The only thing worse than that would be becoming a Sox fan.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is true.
I can't. And like even going to Brewers games, like to this day, I wear neutral colors. Like I don't support the Brewers. If you guys are playing the Cubs, like I will wear a Cubs jersey. So I didn't say anything.
You know
anything,
what real Cubs fans do?
Wear a Cubs game. What? Cubs jerseys.
Cubs jerseys.
I actually did
to
that.
To a Brewers game when they're not playing
I
the
I did
Cubs.
That last year.
That sucks, because then you're just a walking billboard and you're just drawing.
No, they were playing the Cubs. It was still a Cubs game.
No, what I mean is if they're not
playing
the
Cubs. Yeah, I know. I thought I did that, but I didn't. I just wear it to, like if I go to a game where I'm not cheering for either team, I'll just wear a white t-shirt.
Yeah. All right.
So
that's your flag of surrender. Yeah.
You know what else is a white flag? Is a W flag for the Cubs when they win, you know?
You know what? I don't need to. It's a big L flag. How does that sound?
Okay.
When they lose.
But yeah, so he was absolutely right when you guys were talking about that. And yeah, it was fun, like, hearing you guys chit chat about that and then making him be a part of our sketch outside.
Yeah. Later. Yeah. That was a lot of fun, which that sucker will be coming out. We've got a How to Make a Brat sketch coming. Christian will be part of that. And Christian is also the guy who caught my opening pitch last year.
This is our first episode back.
Yeah.
And it's been a month off of April. So do you want to give like a recap of what it's been like?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Just been, on the road a lot, living life. It's been nice to take a break from the Cripes cast, because we hadn't really missed many weeks for years. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to take an extended time off and, really build up sort of a backlog of interviews that we can show to you guys. And I think my goal with taking a month off is it's really just to make every interview count more and really do the research that is needed for all of them. And not to say we weren't doing that before, but
just get recalibrated.
Yeah. Between that and the tour and whatever, I knew, especially with this month of April, I just couldn't physically Nuts. Do both.
Yeah.
So thank you all for your patience on that. And from time to time, you know, we will be taking some breaks and all that with the Cripes cast. I'm trying to make a more sustainable, life for myself. And sometimes I overbook and overdo, and that just means kind of everything suffers quality wise. You know, not necessarily of the product, but just of my enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to enjoy life more, because, you know, we only got one.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So anyways, folks, thanks for your patience. So excited for this interview. Every show we are trying to raise some money for Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders is a great way to help out the situation in the Middle East right now. They've been doing a lot of great work in Gaza, trying to get food in, supplies, medical supplies, people. It's been a very tough situation. It's hard to know how to help. You've heard this before, but you can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.org, and contribute some money in that way. You can also follow them on their social media. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with Milwaukee Brewers left fielder Christian Yelich.
Life on the road, does that wear on you, or are you just used to it now?
Pretty used to it. I mean, unless there's like a really like long, late travel night or something like that, then it kind of gets to you. But for the most part, it's just autopilot at this point. It's just part of your life, part of your job, you know?
Does that mess with your sleep? Like sleeping in, like, you know, not your bed?
Sometimes like the first night in places, or if we're like bouncing time zone to time zone a lot.
You know,
like that's when it kind of gets weird. If you're going like East Coast to West Coast or from Central time zone to West Coast for like 10 days, and then you come back and then everything is kind of adjusted and then messed back up, but it's kind of just part of it, you know?
Yeah. Are you now, I mean, you've been in, are you like a bougie guy with your hotels? Do you need like certain like standards, certain things tick you off? Cause you spend so much time in hotels.
I mean, we stay in pretty nice places always. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's hard to say that they're not bougie, but you know, different hotels are, you know, they're all different in their own ways, you know? But you kind of get used to it. You know, sometimes the first night in a place is a little tough, but.
Yeah. So here's the other thing I'm curious about. Cause I know that in Milwaukee, we got the Pfister, mm-hmm. and the Pfister is haunted. allegedly. I don't know, just so I don't get sued. But I hear like visiting, I think there's some with visiting teams stay at the Pfister and the ghost. What's the story with that?
So, I mean, yeah, I stayed at the Pfister for 5 years. I was with the Marlins.
Oh, so,
yeah,
okay.
I stayed there. Yeah. Before I obviously got traded to the Brewers.
Did you see ghosts?
I had no haunting experiences there. It's a thing throughout the league though. Like everybody knows about it, but I never had any experience when I was there. I think it's because it's like it's a circle, right? Like the tower is like all the rooms are in a circle, so everything kind of like echoes, I feel like, so people think
it's probably
maybe haunted. I could be wrong, but I never had any problem when I was there.
Okay, but that's a thing in baseball. Like, yeah. People know that. Are there other cities with haunted hotels, or is that special to Milwaukee?
There's one in Tampa that we used to stay at that people would say was haunted, or I guess it was in St. Pete, but I've never had a hotel haunting story or experience. Dang. I guess. Yeah, so I'm kind of not the best to speak on that, but those are like kind of the two where people I've heard people say like they've had haunting experiences.
Wow. Does it make you feel bad that you haven't been haunted yourself?
That I wasn't chosen?
Yeah.
Maybe a little. Yeah. I have some cool stories.
I know.
I got nothing. Or maybe it's because maybe it was happening. I was just passed out and didn't know.
Wow. That's crazy. I never know, like, if you've got to be like a certain special someone to get haunted.
I don't know. I don't know who would ask about that.
Were you just, was that a diss on me right there? Who would ask about that? No,
I don't know who we'd ask.
Thought you were saying, I don't know who would ask. Well, here it is on the Cripes Cast. Are you a car guy?
I wouldn't say I'm like a huge car guy. I don't know. I don't know a ton about like cars or engines or certain specs like that, you know?
Yeah. What kind, like, what did your, is there a car that you remember your parents driving from growing up? Where you still see that car, you're like, that's my dad's car. That's my mom's car.
I remember, I don't know what exactly it was. I guess maybe it'd be like a Suburban, but maybe that's like the Tahoe now, I guess.
Call it.
Something like that, because we had three brothers. So, you know, you get need a lot of room to drive everybody around. So like it was always, we were always piling in the back of that. Shuttled around everywhere when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys get into fights in the back of the car?
I don't know if it was, I mean, obviously, yeah, childhood fights, but I don't know if we ever got him in the back. I'm sure there was a time, you know, just
sure.
Chances are three boys growing up together. I'm sure there were some backseat car scuffles.
Yeah. I met your brother over at your charity event last year. He's the realtor. Yeah.
Yeah. He's him. And then, I got a younger brother too, that he hasn't been out to Wisconsin in a while.
What? Well, why the hell not?
I don't know. Yes. We'll have to get him out here.
Well, yeah, I think so. Who was like the winner of the fights? Who was the alpha dog amongst the brothers?
I don't know if there was. I mean, I was the oldest one. I'd say now my youngest brother would probably be the one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a pretty big kid and can handle himself a little bit. So I think now he would be the one that's coming up on top. But I don't know. We didn't have any like too bad of like. You know, there's never any like broken noses or anything like.
Oh, really?
There was never anything like that. It was just, you know, sibling bickering and fighting back in the day.
Got it. No stitches, nothing like that.
I don't think any ever. No stitches from fist fights. I think we've all had our fair share of stitches as kids, but no, not from fighting. No.
Man, that's cool. That's lucky. Me and my brothers, like very young, me and my other brother broke my little brother's femur. And then my brother got stitches right here. I got this scar. That's because we were playing American Gladiators. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were playing on the kitchen table or on the dining room table, and he got me with a pillow. You remember the ones where you're doing that?
Right in the blip.
Yeah. He hit me in the head, and then I fell and I cut my. So he won that round, that bout. Do you ever feel like they should bring American Gladiators back?
I feel like they've tried, right?
I don't
recently,
know.
I think like in the last few years, I feel like I've seen that somewhere. Where
Now that I say that,
like, bring that back like a year or two ago or maybe a little bit longer.
Do you think if you retire from baseball, you would play in American Gladiators?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what I'll do when I'm done playing. I obviously want to do something because I'll probably still be fairly young in life. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. If maybe something not physical anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, maybe just give the body a rest after all those years,
you know? Yeah. You got first of all, how is your back?
It's doing all right. Just kind of manage it and just wear and tear of playing, you know. And sometimes it gets pissed off and flares up and you just kind of have to deal with it, and sometimes it lasts longer than others. You don't really know. You just try to take care of it and manage it as best as possible.
Yeah, because you were playing yesterday and what you kind of just dumped out in the
a few days ago. Just kind of got it a little bit in the first inning of the game, and you know, once that happens, it's like you can't really do anything about it. You're done, you know. And
yeah,
you try to just manage it as best as possible, catch it early if possible, and then go from there. Sometimes it clears up quick, sometimes it kind of lingers for a little while. So, you know, that's what I'll be doing after this, going into the the stadium and get that worked on and see if we can get that thing knocked out.
Yeah. Do you have, what do? You do ice bath, you do like needling, you do something interesting you want to share?
Pretty much everything. You know, we're there for hours, you know.
Really?
So I get there, play a 7 o'clock game, usually they're on like 1:30 anyway, even if you're playing. So I mean, now I'll probably not play tonight, so I'll be obviously in there getting worked on, doing rehab PT stuff before the game, during the game, maybe a little bit after. So it'll be pretty regimented day of trying to get this thing better and then see where we go.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, cause you know, by the way, congrats on a great season so far. How does that feel? Like, I feel like, and I'm not, you know, super into the baseball numbers and everything, or like a hardcore gambling fanatic, you know, because I'm actually going to the game tonight.
Are you?
But I'm not like, you know, there are those guys that are like drilling down on stats.
Yeah.
They're betting on games. They know everything. I'm like a fan, but I'm not that kind. There are I feel like a few different types of fans. There's a spectrum.
Yeah.
So
we experience them all.
Yeah. I know. I'm not a guy on Twitter like talking smack after the game. You know, does that annoy you when people go on Twitter and just like give you crap or teammates crap? Or
I mean, it's such a thing now. Like when you're just being a pro athlete, like that's such a part of it now, especially like you said with gambling.
Yeah.
Like every night, if you don't get a hit that night or something, like you can go on your social media and you can just scroll forever about people just hating you for, you know, messing up their parlay or their bet, or it's like, oh yeah, I didn't get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. So, you know, it's like,
you're in charge of their gambling addiction. Like,
I'm not gonna get a hit tonight because I knew you bet on me. Like, come on, guy.
Do you think the gambling thing has made the social media hate worse?
Yeah, 100%. Like, not even close. I mean, you used to get it anyway if you like didn't play well, but that was just from like fans of like just being mad at you for not doing well. But now with gambling, it doesn't even have to be like people that watch your games. It's like they just kind of choose you in their bets, and then they don't cash, and they're, you know, they're pissed off at you. But such is life as a pro athlete now. It's just kind of part of the game. And you know, people yell at you from the stands or like whatever they bet on you, like when you're like warming up and stuff, like, really? I need you to do this tonight. Just yell at it. And then if you don't get it, they're pissed. If you do get it, they're in the stands, like super happy with you, like stoked in the game. So it's become a wild experience actually as an athlete with like how much more prevalent gambling's like become in sports, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I feel like each year it kind of progresses and it becomes like more and more popular and more people like bet on it.
Right.
So it's definitely like changed that aspect of it, of like your social media and stuff like that. And I think you just kind of get used to it. Like I don't even care.
Yeah.
Like if someone's going to yell at you on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, you're like, cool, man. Like,
yeah,
get in line. There's a long line of people here that are pissed off. So,
right.
You know, it is what it is.
Overall, do you think it's better for the game or worse for the game?
I don't know. I mean, it has people invested in it and it's not going to go away. Like, it's only going to become more incorporated into the game. I feel like it'll become more prevalent in like in the in-game experience, you know. Like, I'm sure it'll be in ballparks, I don't know, in the near future, but at some point, like, you'll probably be able to sit in your seat and bet whatever, you know, at some point in the future, you know, because especially for like how far it's come in such a short time already, like there's going to be, I feel like it'll just keep going. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's the entertainment industry after all, right?
So it's true.
If you can keep people entertained, they're more invested in the sport. It's kind of good for everybody. And, you know, it's just kind of a byproduct of being a pro athlete now, is you deal with that.
Yeah. And money's going to drive it. You know, I mean, same thing with like, with sort of the rules changing in baseball and like the different entertainment elements added, like, how do you feel about the clock? How do you feel about the props during the home runs? How do you feel about like all these changes we've seen over the past few years?
I like the clock a lot because it just keeps the game moving, you know. Like it keeps it. It's usually, they're all pretty much sub 3 hours now. If you play a 3 hour game, you feel like it lasted forever. And before, like if you play a 3 hour game, you're like, wow, that flew, you know. But so I think that's good. There's not really much wasted time anymore. It's kind of just, the game just moves with the clock. So I'm a big fan of the clock. The home run props, I don't know. I'm not a huge, we don't do one anymore. We had one for a little while and then we're like, ah, man, you're not going to do it. Just because, like, I don't, like, if you're, like, down 9 runs in the 9th inning and someone hits a homer, and you're just like, here, you're put, like, all,
here's a,
yeah, put all your shit on, or whatever. You know, and run around the dugout. It's like, oh, we're only down 8. It's like, ah, I don't know if I love this. And it's just like, I don't know, like, we don't need, if you do it enough times, just like, you know, you look at all, like, the best teams, I feel like they don't really have one.
Yeah. I mean, where did that come from? Like, is that,
I don't,
like,
really know. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like, yeah. I forgot who's, I don't know what team did it first. And then once I feel like people saw, like, one team do it, then, like, other teams started doing it. And yeah, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know where it started, but we don't have one. We didn't have one, like, the second half of last year. We haven't had one at all this year. We're not going to have one this year.
And, gotcha.
You know, we're just going to go out and try and win every night.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I do, through the course of this, have a few various fan questions, and one is kind of related to what we're talking about. This is Andy Roffey. He is a Cubs fan.
Okay.
And he is that's a fib. And do you know what a fib is? Being here, fib is effing Illinois bastard.
Okay.
So makes a lot of sense, you know, appropriate thing. He wants to know, have you, as a Cubs fan, have you spoken with counsel since he went to the Cubs, and how do you feel about playing the Cubs coming up?
Yeah, I spoke to counts after he made his decision. You know, he called most of us, told us what he was doing. And, you know, and then I actually ran into him in Arizona when we were out there in spring training.
We
just, like, accidentally were same place, same time in a restaurant. And so we caught up there a little bit and talked, but I'm happy. I'm super happy for him. You know, obviously I understand the hard feelings Brewers fans, people are gonna have him going to the Cubs because of the whole rivalry deal. But at the end of the day, I mean, he got compensated extremely well for, what he does. And in my opinion, he's one of the best managers in baseball. And, you can't fault him. You know, it's no different than, in my eyes, as a player being a free agent and, you know, getting the highest offer from somebody else. And it blows a lot of the other ones out of the water. And you got to go. You got to go take care of your family and do that whole deal. And I don't fault him, you know, one bit. It doesn't change my feelings about him. It doesn't change what we were able to do as a team, you know, in his tenure here and all those great memories. And, you know, I've learned a lot from him, and I know he appreciates everything that we were able to do as a team, in his time here. And then, you know, things change, people move on as part of sports, you know, free agents sign with other teams. He was a free agent, you know, and that's what happens in free agency and in sports. You know, I understand the hard feelings there from a fan perspective, but, you know, me knowing counts personally, like he's a great guy, great person. And you know, really happy for him and his family.
Awesome. That's great. Well, going into, you know, Chicago, do you think there's going to be like an extra thing in the rivalry given that, or do you think it's going to soften the rivalry?
No, it's not going to soften it. It's not going to soften it. But, you know, look, the games are decided by the players on the field. The coaching staffs and managers put you in the best positions to succeed. You know, like they want to put you in moments where they think you're going to have the most success. But ultimately, the games are decided by the guys on the field. And look, it's become a pretty big rivalry. It's always been a rivalry, but I feel like in the last few years, it's been a pretty big rivalry, like us and the Cubs. And especially when we go to Chicago, you know, our fans don't like them. Their fans definitely don't like us. You know, I know I'm not very well liked in that stadium.
But that's got to feel good, though.
Yeah. I mean, look, you don't want them cheering for you.
Right.
That means, you know, that means they're doing well and you guys aren't. So, you know, you want to go there. You want to be hated. It's fun. It adds a good excitement to the game. And, you know, look, I'm sure that's just going to add like another element to the rivalry. But we're going to want to still win, even though, you know, obviously counts has been with us for a long time, but that doesn't change, you know, our feelings and our goals for the year. It's just kind of a new chapter in Brewers baseball. People move on, people do their thing. And look, I'll be friends with counts forever. You know, it doesn't change the fact that he manages the Cubs or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What team's got the worst fans?
The worst fans? Honestly, it's kind of it depends on a nightly basis. So you could be anywhere and, you know, you could be just getting crushed that night just in a random city. It just depends who's in the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when we play the Cubs, I get it for three straight hours, you know, the whole game, probably longer than that. I get it from batting practice on till the end of the game. But, you know, there's nothing better than sending a crowd of 40,000 people home sad. You know? Yeah. So we always enjoy going down there and playing those guys and hopefully winning. But yeah, I mean, you have the New Yorks, the Phillies, the, you know, San Francisco, actually, they'll kind of get after you a lot out there.
Yeah.
Especially Cincinnati a little bit too, randomly, like,
yeah, really,
they like to talk. They like to talk out there.
What's the worst thing someone said to you from the stands?
The worst thing?
Yeah.
They'll come out. I mean, you hear some really, really, really bad things out there some nights. Like, really? Some stuff where you're like, man, like, why would, you know, like, this isn't the zoo, man. Like, you right. know, I feel like people just, you know, when they buy a ticket to a game and they're in the stands and there's a, you're on the field and there's a fence and it's just like, all right, anything goes, you know? And sometimes you're like, nah, that's not cool. You know, if you're saying something funny and you're just like giving me a hard time,
yeah,
whatever, you know, I'll laugh at it if it's funny. But sometimes you're like, man, that's kind of crossing the line.
Funniest thing someone said, do you remember any of it?
I don't know the funniest thing. I think it was my rookie. It was like early on in my career. I think we were in Atlanta somewhere and someone said that, I look like the giraffe from the Atlanta Zoo. And he starts singing like the Madagascar song.
Are you kidding me?
That one was pretty funny. I remember that one for whatever reason. Like, that one sticks out. But you hear some pretty funny, like, you hear some funny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a mix of everything, you know, every night. And it's part of it. You know, it doesn't really bother you. You just kind of just ignore it. And it is what it is. Cause once you acknowledge it, it gets way, way worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you kind of start interacting or, you know, you try to start kind of giving it back.
You can't feed the trolls.
Yeah. You just kind of let it go. And it is what it is. But as soon as you like acknowledge that you can hear it or you're like paying attention to it, bad move.
But
bad
to move. Be clear, you can hear it.
Most of the time, I mean, if there's not a big crowd, you can pretty much hear it all.
Okay.
If there's like a larger crowd and there's a lot of like ambient noise and not as much, but if they're like those random, you know, a weekday game and it's not a big crowd, or, you know, you have like a rain game and there's been a delay and like the crowd's kind of gone, there's only a few people left, like, you can definitely hear it.
Yeah.
They're screaming it at you.
Right.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As Israel moves its forces into Rafah, forcing more than 300,000 Palestinian civilians to flee, President Biden pausing some weapons deliveries to Israel. Republican House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Michael McCaul saying that sends a poor message, telling ABC's Martha Raddatz on This Week.
You know where it matters, Martha, is the signal and the message we're sending the rest of the world, that you can't count on the United States, can't trust the United States, that our allies, right, our allies and our enemies see this as well.
Three Atlanta police officers hospitalized with gunshot wounds following an encounter with an armed man that was killed. Two of the officers expected to undergo surgery. Former President Trump held a beach campaign rally in Wildwood along the Jersey Shore. He blamed President Biden for the criminal charges he's facing in New York. Set to take the stand this week, the man who once said he would take a bullet for Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, is prosecutor's biggest piece of legal ammunition in the former president's hush money trial. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The crew with a come from behind win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Cardinals' losing streak was finally coming to an end. St. Louis was up 3-2, bottom of the seventh, when Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins was at the plate and used a golf swing on a low slider, the call nationwide on Fox Sports.
Kittredge home, Hoskins in the air, center field, ranging back Ciani, back to the wall, he leaps, it's gone! A go-ahead home run from Rhys Hoskins, Milwaukee leads!
5-3 in favor of Milwaukee was the final score. Hoskins at his locker in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I didn't think I had enough to get out. I know I got some good barrel to it, but just like with the way that some of those balls have been going and just the way he was tracking it, I thought he was going to get some glove on it. Obviously he did, but got just enough.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
From what I've been told, it was a really good pitch.
and he stayed through it. When he's using that approach to stay to right center, he's square to the ball. He's really tough.
From AmFam Field, with sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies for your Sunday. There will be a chance for some afternoon showers or storms. Highs will top out in the upper 70s, close to that 80-degree mark. South winds gusty. Shower and storm chances will end Sunday night. Lows in the lower 50s. Right now, it's 73.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The road construction season is...
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot hangs out to tell us what the week's forecast looks like. And then Peter and Tracy Flukey stop by before their trip out to New York on their tandem bike.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is my conversation with Milwaukee Brewers left fielder Christian Yelich. Do you get the Pete Davidson thing, or is that died off a little bit? The comparison.
Every night.
What do they say?
Just Pete Davidson.
That's what they yell.
Yeah,
it's like super creative.
Yeah, well, in the adders, like they ask, like, do you know you look like Pete Davidson? And like they think it's like the funniest thing that they've ever said.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, another night. The last like 10 years, people have been yelling at you, like, you are not the first one. You know, and they all think they're the first one that's. Said that, and I've met Pete a few times. We've talked about it,
yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, I don't." We're like, "I don't know if we see it." I mean, he's a good guy, a great dude.
Yeah,
I think earlier, maybe when we were both a little bit younger, kind of saw it a little bit, and then like now, I don't think we look too much alike, but maybe a little bit.
Do you have any tattoos?
I only got one. I hate it, but I
what
got
is
one.
It?
It sucks.
Well.
But he got rid of all his, right?
He's getting rid of his,
which I'm sure that's not.
I'm seeing you avoiding the question, though. What?
I hate it. I was like, I don't know. I got it when I was 20 and didn't know what I was going to get.
Is it barbed wire?
No. That's pretty bad. It's not that bad. I was going to the place and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'll figure it out when I get there, which is pretty much like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. For someone that's going to be on you forever.
And then I remember waking up the next day being like, damn, that sucks.
And yet you're still not going to say what it is.
Nah. But
where is it? What's the location?
It's my arm. You can't really see, especially during games, because like I wear sleeves down to here every day.
Oh yeah.
But it's really not that bad, but there's way worse tattoos out there. But I'm just like, not really a tattoo guy, or I wouldn't have picked that one. If I could like do it again, I'd do something different, but.
Are you going to get removed?
Probably not.
It's just a part of you.
It is what it is, you know. Maybe one day, but
yeah,
I don't really have the time. Because it takes a bunch of sessions, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like,
and you can't be in the sun. It, like the laser of it, you can't.
Really?
It's 10 sessions.
How do you know? Do you have a tattoo?
No, but I've like seen people do it and or like it's in shows.
Yeah.
Well, I live in like 3 different places throughout the year for extended periods of time. So it's not like, you know, you can just like go to the same place all the time and just like knock it out. And like your allotted time in between sessions.
Right.
Like
yeah.
You have to go like once a year.
Yeah.
It's like a multi-year.
So it takes 10 years.
I feel like it's like a multi-year process to get it gone. I mean, it's not a big tattoo, but.
Charlie, do you have a tattoo?
No.
Why are you obsessed with this question?
Well, I just, my obsession came with him not wanting to talk about it. So I apologize for that.
No, I'm going to be crap. But yes,
people yell everything. Back to the beginning of it. It's like,
yeah.
You hear everything. The Pete Davidson one's it's a popular one. What else do people yell at me? There's for some reason, whenever we go on, like people yell that I'm like dating somebody, like this girl. Like if you Google like me and girlfriend, it says like a name, but like I went to high school with that girl. Like she's married now.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm like, I'm definitely not dating her.
Her husband's just so, like
people yell at me like for I don't know why they I don't know how that got on the internet or why not. But yeah.
And so they just yell at her name,
thinking like that's my like they think like that's my girlfriend. And I'm like, nah,
I won't say it, but I found it.
Yeah, it's like, nah, that girl's married to not me.
So. Do you ever talk to her about it? Do you ever say,
no, hey, I haven't talked to her in years.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that like people like scream and they think it's such a good heckle because they think it's like my girlfriend and like they start like they think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You guys couldn't like, be yeah,
cool. any like, further from the truth.
You couldn't be more wrong. Like check the date on it. I'm sure it's from like years back. But that's another. Those are like the two popular ones because I think people just sit at the game, put your name in Google and try to like find out stuff about you. And then they just scream it at you all night. But
yeah,
that's a funny one for me because I'm like, yeah, you guys are all the way wrong. Couldn't be more wrong.
This is kind of like sort of an analogy for life. Like you get an entire stadium of people.
Yeah.
And what sticks out are like the loudest, drunkest jackasses screaming.
Well, we were in Cincinnati like 3 nights ago. And like the entire left field section was chanting this name.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, you guys are all wrong. Like, good one, but no. So I was like, do a little more research. Like, do better.
Yeah.
Do better about your heckling. Don't be lazy with it. If you're going to talk game, don't be lazy. do a good job. You know, come up with something good. But yeah, I always think that one's a funny one.
So do you get most of your heckling out in the outfield or is it?
Yeah. Outfield is like the number one place for you. If you play outfield in the major leagues, like that's the one place where they're because you're just out there by yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just whole sec. Like if you play the infield, you're kind of far away from the stands. So nobody's really going to be able to say much to you unless you're in the dugout. But when you're in the outfield, like it's fair game.
Right.
Especially the corners. If you're playing left field, right field, like it's game on for you. Center field, it depends on the stadium layout. Sometimes you get it there, but for the most part, if you're in the two corner spots in the outfield, you're getting it pretty good every night.
Right. Sometimes there's not even seats in the center field.
Area, right. So it just depends on the layout of the stadium, but there's always seats in left and right field.
Yeah. And yeah.
Usually it starts out kind of slow. And then like mid game, once the beers have been flowing, you know, that's when it starts getting a little rowdy out there.
Speaking of beers, we met doing the Liney's ad.
Yeah.
And so the situation with that is we were doing our first dugout video.
The beer vendor.
The
one.
Beer
that was
vendor.
Our first time, right?
That was our first time.
We've done a few of them.
Done a few videos. Yeah. I was the beer vendor. For people who don't know, yeah, I was the beer vendor.
With the ice on the arm.
Yeah. We're coming down to the dugout. We were just discussing injuries, athlete to athlete.
Yeah.
You know, the arm injuries that I deal with as a beer vendor, mm-hmm. the injuries you deal with, you know, you were giving me tips and all that. And that ended up being a baseball card, a Topps card,
which
is pretty cool, pretty man.
You have a baseball card.
Which is cool. Know.
It's not a lot of people that can say that.
No. I mean, that was really exciting for me. I know you've had baseball cards before.
You signed them, right? You signed? I think it was like a dual one. I feel like I've signed that too for Topps at some point.
I tried to get one so we could do like an auction for your charity.
Yeah.
But I failed. I can't get
they're
one.
Probably
dude.
All gone because it was years ago. Like those are probably all. Like,
yeah, they're gone.
They're probably like all in circulation. Like they're out there, but
they're in collections.
Other people probably have them now because they've probably been in packs because I'm pretty sure it was like a dual autograph thing. So, because I think you signed them first and then they sent them to me and then I think I signed them also.
Yeah. Wait, you think you signed them?
Well, I think I remember seeing your signature already on there.
Yeah.
So like then I think I was second.
I was going to say, don't say you think you saw them. Then they'll be like,
I definitely sign them. You have to sign all your own stuff when it comes to Topps like that. But
I know some athletes, like they change their signature every year.
Yeah.
Do you do that or do you just have the same?
I don't change it. Mine's kind of evolved. I mean, I first started signing cards when I was 18 after I got drafted.
Yeah.
So like my signature when I was 18 was pretty bad. I was kind of, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was fresh out. I was just trying to make up a signature.
Really?
I was trying to just, what is my signature going to be? So if you look at my rookie card from, I don't know, 2010, like my first ever baseball card, it's a, it's a little different than my signature now.
Were you like writing it out in cursive, trying to make every...
No, I don't. It just wasn't as good. I was kind of just trying to come up with one. And then I don't remember how I like settled on the one I have today, but that one today actually kind of like looks like a real signature. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, that's good. Like, that's how you should sign stuff.
Yeah.
Before, I was kind of just feeling my way through it and trying to come up with one.
That's interesting. Yeah. Do guys do that? Like, is there like a big first letters, small little letters? Are there like certain styles of signature?
I mean, I feel like a lot of them have gotten, they're not great now. Like a lot of like the young guys, they don't have like a great signature.
They don't teach cursive.
Right. It's kind of just like two letters. I'm like, come on, you gotta do better.
Yeah. You gotta give a little bit of detail.
Something that looks like your name. I feel like that looks like a good signature, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so mine's not like my initials, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like mine looks like my name a little bit, just kind of cursive-y. But yeah, some guys, it's just, they just knock it out quick. Especially, yeah. I mean, you sign so much stuff that time-wise, it's probably good, but I don't like how it looks. Like, I like that, you know, if you sign something, I like if it looks nice.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I don't know why I care about that, but I do. Like, if someone's going to get something that I've signed, I would like it to at least look nice. That's, so it probably takes a little bit longer, like a few seconds longer, but
yeah,
still, like, I still like doing it to where it look. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't really have a reason for it other than like, I just care that if it looks nice.
Yeah. No. Do you think that kids aren't learning cursive in school is affecting probably, the quality of signatures?
It could be. Yeah. That could be a reason for it, or I don't know why. And maybe it's the fact that like, if you're signing so many like cards and stuff that you just want a quick one. But for me, it's like, I'd rather just sign it nice. It doesn't take me 2 minutes to sign something, you know, it just takes a couple extra seconds to do it right.
And when it comes to signatures, are you a guy who like you try to not sign a lot of things to keep your signature rate high, or do you not care?
No, I mean, I sign stuff for Tops, Fanatic, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll sign stuff at games if I have time. I kind of have like a routine on game day and stuff like that of like what I like to do and just like get prepared.
What is it?
Just like I go out on the line at certain times and come back in the dugout at certain times. And just like, it's just a routine that I've kind of had over the years of just like preparing for the game. Mm-hmm. And like, you just become like a creature of habit with it. So like, I'm kind of focused on that leading up to like going out and playing and making sure that you're ready to go. But yeah, I mean, I'll sign stuff at games and stuff like that.
In baseball, there are so many like little things, like, you know, in your swing, like the where you hit on the bat, all of that sort of stuff. And then sort of, it's also known for superstitions and for little rituals and everything. Do you have any of those?
I don't know. No, like superstition things. I think you just, as your career evolves, like your routine evolves and things of what you do as far as like preparation, you kind of have a, I wouldn't say it's a superstition, but you have a preparation of like, this is what I'm doing every day when we're playing. Like, this is what I need to do. But I don't have anything where like, I have to wear this or I have to do this a certain number of times before I, you know, I don't have anything like that just because we play so much that I think that'd be exhausting for 162 games to just, I got to do this every day. And then one day you don't do it. You're like, I didn't do my thing. Like,
right. You're in your head.
Well, yeah. What's going to happen? So like mine's more focused around like preparation and like making sure like I'm physically ready to play.
Now, so physically, obviously, there's a ton of stuff, but mentally, do you have any sort of meditation or anything you do to get mentally ready?
No, I mean, you just compete. You know, I think that like your biggest thing is like to be successful, I think, in baseball, because it is such a mental game. And like the mental process of playing every day is difficult, you know, to you can do it one day. Like, that's fine. But to do it for six straight months, it's hard, man. And like certain days you feel better than others. And, you know, some days you're exhausted and you just like have to, you can't really use it as an excuse. Like, you just have to be like, all right, like for 3 hours, like I'm competing and I'm competing hard, like mentally. And you learn that over your career of like how to do that. But, you know, I think there's something to be said for being a competitor and just like wanting to be successful. And it's not always going to happen, but you go out there and like, you just don't let yourself, you don't make an excuse like, oh, I'm tired or I don't feel good or this and that. And it's like, we're getting it. We're getting after it.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Let's see what happens. And, you know, when you have a whole group that's like that, you have a whole team, like you can be pretty successful and you can overcome a lot of things. If you have a group that has that kind of mindset. And for me, that's what's exciting about our team this year is like, we have a really good group. It's a young group. It's a new group. It's people that, you know, haven't really been here over the last few years. It's a lot of new guys and young guys, but it's shaping up to be a pretty special group, like competitor wise and like team wise and closeness. So it's early, but you know, I really like what I've seen from our guys so far.
Have you had any tips for them? Cause like a lot of these guys are coming from other places. I mean, you went from Los Angeles to Florida to, Milwaukee,
yeah,
which is culturally speaking a pretty different place.
Got all over.
You played in the minors, you played all over the place, but was there any culture shock about Wisconsin that you encountered and have kind of given tips on these new guys about?
Not really. I mean, it's a great place in the summer. You know, yeah. I mean,
nice.
And that's like not taking a shot at the winter, but like that's when we're here, you know,
it's
spring into summer, a little bit into fall. It's a really good place, you know, it's summer nights here, you know, Brewers baseball game. Like it's a cool experience.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a good sports state. Like I think people really enjoy sports here. I think we've all been really fortunate with how competitive and good the teams have been here.
Yeah.
You know, Bucks, the Packers, like, pretty good. There's not a lot of states or fan bases that like have that consistency of like, you know, the Bucks won a title, you know, us and the Packers, we haven't done it. Packers haven't done it in a while, but so many things have to, like, it's hard to do that. Right. Once you get to the postseason, like, it's just kind of like, it is what it is at that point. You know, like you obviously, everybody wants to win. We all want to win. But there's so much randomness to it. And it's such short series that like anything can happen just because you could be a better team and not win, you know, and you just got to keep getting there. And hopefully like one year you can put it all together. But, you know, we've been able to do it year after year. And it's a hard thing to do for sure.
Yeah. Do you have like, you know, because baseball is such. It's a much different season than football. We're kind of football. Every game, you know, I feel like counts in a different way than baseball.
Yeah.
And maybe basketball to a certain degree. Like, do you have like, if you guys are in a slump or you're on a winning streak, do you have like certain things that you do to try to like, let's take a slump. Are there things that you guys do to get out of a slump? Like as a team come together, like any like things to just kind of crack the pattern that's been there?
You know, I think the biggest thing is that you just keep going. Like you got to realize like it's going to be a part of the season because it's so long, but there's going to be some stretch. There's going to be great stretches or, you know, you feel like you're never going to lose again. And then there's going to be some stretches where like, man, I got this, nothing's going right. But I think that's when you kind of draw back on experience, like guys that have done it for a while and been in the league, you kind of understand like what's going to happen over the course of the season. And like, during those bad times, like you just got to keep everybody going forward. Like, hey, like this, just let's keep going. Like it's going to turn. You know, and I think it like the consistency and like the way that you play, like if you're playing hard and you're competing hard and you're doing things the right way, eventually it's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody wants to do well and everybody wants to succeed. So like, you don't have a team meeting, but like we need to win more games. It's like, everyone's like, yeah, we know. But so, you know, nobody ever does that.
Right.
It's just more so like, you know, just do things the right way. Keep going about it the right way, and eventually it's going to turn. And you don't ride the highs or the lows, and you don't panic when things aren't going well, or you're not on the top of the mountain when things aren't going well. You know, it's just like, hey, like head down, grind it, and like we'll see where we're at in 6 months. And then once you get into September, like that's winning time, you know, like that hopefully you're in a division race or a race for the playoffs, and then it's like, all right, now it's time to go, like let's start, you know, racking up W's and see if we can, you know, get this thing locked up.
Right.
That's when it's fun. And, you know, we've had kind of a core group here that's experienced those races and those games when it gets tighter and like they all start meaning more. They all mean the same at the end, you know? So those games that, you know, you're supposed to win in April and May, if you don't win, they usually come in, they usually end up haunting you later in the year.
Right.
Because, you know, the 2 years we haven't made the postseason in 17 and 22, we missed about one game.
Yeah.
One game where, you know, that ends up mattering at the end. Like, you think over 162 games, like, whatever, we lost such a long year. But when you're on good teams and you're trying to get to the postseason, like, they usually end up mattering. So it's like the attention to detail every day and like doing everything you can to win that night. It's so emphasized because they all usually end up mattering at the end.
Yeah. There's not games that anybody ever takes off, even though the season is long, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, so like opening day, everyone, like, there's so much pageantry around opening day and you're like, yeah, it's just one day, but it is kind of true. Like, opening day matters just as much as, you know, tonight.
Yeah.
April 15th or 16th, wherever we're at.
Yeah.
It's like that game counts just as much as opening day is the last game of the season. Like, they all end up mattering. So for us, it's like we really emphasize, like, you know, lock in on the day to day and like we need to win every night. And then, you know, usually ends up working out all right for us.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Which sausage do you root for in the sausage race?
You know what? That's a great question, Colleen.
We always just root for a good show in the dugout. You know, we want to see.
You don't want to be political and choose one right now.
We want to see everybody laying it out on the line out there.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
people fall hard in that race and you're like, oh my, and it's usually like right in front of our dugout because they've gotten some speed, you know, and
yeah,
kind of coming around like the home stretch and like they're trying to win. I've never put it on, but people say it's like kind of top heavy. Have you ever done it?
No, I haven't done it, but I've heard that.
People say it's like top heavy. So everyone always goes like face first, like right into the ground.
Oh,
some people hit it hard and you're like, I hope.
Right on the face.
Like, I hope you're okay. Cause yeah, there's been some pretty like loud ones and everyone's like, oh God.
So yeah, I mean that Milwaukee's got a lot of dangerous things like that. It's not just a sausage race. It's going down Bernie's slide. Have you gone down that thing?
One time. Yeah.
Oh my God. How did they let you go down it?
I didn't, I just did it. They probably wouldn't have let me do it, but I just kind of did it. But you go down way faster than you think. I didn't think it was that fast. You're kind of hauling ass down that thing.
So
it surprised me a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay, I can see how people get hurt on this thing.
When did you go down it?
It was a few years ago. I was doing like a production day or something at the stadium one day. It was on an off day and we were up there shooting some stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go down the slide. And everybody that was there was like, I have nothing to do with this. Like, this is all on your own. Like, they all kind of like turn their back. Like, I'm not looking.
Did you go down the burlap sack or just your jeans?
I think I did.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I did it. I just remember I went down and I remember going down and going at the bottom of it. I was like, you're coming in a little hotter than you think.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like, okay. I get it. Cause the Dodger reporter a few years ago, like, broke his forearm and like, ribs and stuff going down the slide.
I mean, it's gnarly. I went down and my parents went down and at first you're like, how bad could it be? But there is like a drop, like you're on a roller coaster kind of. That's all the time we have for now. Check out my full interview anywhere you get your podcasts. Just check out Cripescast. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Christian Yelich. Huge thanks to Christian for coming on the show. You guys got to follow him. It's at Christian Yelich on Instagram. Check out Christian Yelich's home plate charity concert. You can get tickets at visitmilwaukee.org/Yelich.
You're going to be there, right?
Yes, I am going to be there.
So, yeah. It'll be a fun event.
Yes, I am. It's going to be fun times. Also, what else? Oh, if you want to see, we've got a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on now. Patreon, charliebarnes.com/Patreon. And then, of course, just follow the Cripescast everywhere you get your podcasts at Cripescast. We're on the social medias, too. And don't forget, follow the Instagram at Cripescast because we are going to tell you how you can win that Charlie Barron's Christian Yelich autograph bottle. Of
can of summer shandy.
Oh, it's a can.
Yeah.
I forget it's a can. Do you still know where that is?
Right there.
Thank God. I was like, I don't know where I put the thing.
You specifically brought it up here. I said, hey, I'll leave it on my desk so that nobody touches it. And you go, no.
Yeah, because I'm
bringing it up here so that nobody drinks it or takes it.
Well, and like, we know where it is. Because anytime we're looking for props for things, it's like, here's one, you know? Yeah.
So, anyways,
follow the Crepes Cast and check out the Crepescast.com for show dates and merch and everything. And yeah, that's all we got.
All right. See you, folks. Have
you
a good
one.
Did
you yawn while I was talking?
Yeah.
See you, folks. I'm
kidding. I didn't yawn. I didn't mean to yawn. You've never yawned while I talked. I watch you while I'm doing interviews yawn.
Yeah, true.
In the background. Where's the outro? No one's listening right now anyway.
If you're listening, drop in the comments how rude it is to yawn while someone's talking.
I'd like to see that too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. See you guys. Thank you for coming out. Sorry for yawning, Kelly.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot in the walleye hole and
this is Civic Media bringing